We're in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. You know who else can start packing? One of the guys in this room can take their bad picks and just leave because pretty much.
Tiffitts, I tweeted this out yesterday as I'm watching the Dallas game. I'm going, I don't know that I've ever looked forward to a segment less than I'm looking up to man up today in the cut that I'm about to play during this Dallas-Detroit game.
Well, let's help you feel worse. It's time for Man Up. L is the letter of the day.
Dang.
For one of these guys. So let's go ahead and start with the bad.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and get this one knocked out. One of the mandatory picks on Friday, Tiff, was the Lions against the Cowboys. And why I like the Lions, I just thought, you know what, man? There's a lot of things going into this. And the Cowboys are too good of a team with Dak and CeeDee and everybody else to have that happen to him. Let's hear Friday. When you're talking about Detroit and these two Thanksgiving teams, and you talk about them going on the road, and they're a three-point favorite at Dallas, who I think is still a good team, that tells me Vegas really likes Detroit. The problem is I really like Dallas, and I think that Dallas can play a brand of football in this game, and what goes up must come down. I like Dallas plus the three at home. I just think there's too much on the line for that team. They're going to be gritty. Dak Prescott makes a throw to CeeDee Lamb at some point in that game that kind of pulls them ahead.
He
I like Dallas plus the 3 points.
You like losing money.
We're going to kick you in the teeth, all right, and when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you, and when you knock us down, we're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
Here we go!
Oh my gosh, dude, I heard that entire sound by playing in my ear yesterday as I'm watching the game. I'm going, how was I that confident? Dallas, too much on the line.
You never know what you're going to get with the Cowboys, except for the one thing that is certain is always going to be some drama.
Well, and here's the thing,
drama.
They've been one of the more consistent teams in the NFL the last few years. I mean, they've been a 12-win team, and I just thought, okay, they'll bounce back. They'll get it put together at some point. All the contract dramas behind them.
What did I tell you?
All the contract dramas behind them.
What did I tell you at the beginning of the season? What did I tell you?
They're always going to break your heart.
I said their defense is going to miss Dan Quinn.
Their defense is, the only thing they're missing is tackling right now because it's just awful.
Like
it's
I said,
awful.
Their defense is going to miss Dan Quinn, and they have missed Dan Quinn. That whole team is missing Dan Quinn right now, apparently.
Yeah.
There's just been some iffy losses in there for them when you really thought that this was going to be a dominant team this year, so
I don't know what
I'm
made
looking at the record right now.
Three different field goals in the game. I didn't just barely miss on that one. That was a complete I threw my back out swinging so hard I missed on that.
I don't know what made you think that they were going to beat Detroit. I just don't know what in your mind made you think. You just thought, I'm the smartest guy in the room. I'm Mike freaking
Johnson.
Were
you thinking about Detroit a few seasons ago? Last year you were thinking about who Detroit is this year.
Look, because the I NFL bet you as a way of bringing everybody back down a peg. When
it,
they're
it
up,
does, it but just, I don't know if it always applies to the Cowboys. I look at some of the 44-19 loss to the Saints, and I'm not saying that should have factored into your decision, but I feel like the way this season has gone for them, I don't know if I would feel as confident as you did going into a game.
Ironically enough, that's the last time. That's the last time New Orleans beat somebody was that game. That shows you who.
I don't make predictions.
Funny.
I just like to rub your faces in it when you're wrong.
That's
all good. That's what I'm here
for.
There's a lot of people in the world like you where they don't like to put themselves out there until they can make fun of someone who did. And I put myself out there, Tiff, with Ole Miss and LSU. But you know, Tiff, I went with the numbers and I tried to pull. I said, what would Tiff do? Because you weren't here. And I said, well, she would go with history. And history has
I don't even ask myself that question.
WWTD. I'm getting a bracelet.
Yeah, what would Tiffany do?
Yeah.
But history has it that LSU and Ole Miss are both teams that don't stop others, and they score a lot of points. I never thought Ole Miss would lose the game, and I never thought the score would be under 62.5. LSU and Ole Miss, it's a night game. It's going to be fun. Death Valley is going to be just rolling. Those Bayou folk are going to be all oiled up, greased up, ready to go. I'm going to tell you something. That over-under at 62.5, you could make it 70, and I'd pick the over. LSU has never seen an offense in the last 3 years that they want to stop. And Ole Miss can put up points, but I think LSU's got a good offense, too. They're going to put up points. This is going to look like USC and LSU did at the start of the year. Give me the over. 62.5 could be 80.
Psych! That's the wrong number.
How about new?
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray.
All right, shut up, Stephen A. Smith. I don't want to hear from him anymore.
I thought that was Denzel for a minute. No, the 80 part is what makes that so good.
It could be 80.
It could have been. It could have been.
Ole Miss, pretty. I think Ole Miss is better than people.
I blame Brian Kelly.
Yeah, I think you should just blame yourself. Hey, you put the line out there, and he went and got the win.
You know what's
He's
happening?
Feeling good today.
You know what's happening right now?
What's that?
LSU is creeping back in the playoff picture because the SEC is about to have not one, but two teams in the top 10 with another loss and makes it their second. Well, LSU just, you know, plugging away.
No doubt about it, man.
Brian Kelly's sick of it.
Stop it. Stop it.
Sorry. I couldn't help it.
Oh. All right. Do you have any good?
I did. I actually scratched and clawed for a good. And that's the best news of the weekend.
What'd you go? 1-3?
That Lamar Jackson was going to win this game yesterday. Commanders are the toast of the town in the NFL right now. Everybody's talking about Jaden Daniels, the 4-1 star, Dan Quinn, everything else that's going on. And yet, when you look at this game and you see a 4-1 Commanders as a 6.5-point underdog is what I have it to the 3-2 Ravens, that tells me all I need to know as far as Vegas goes. They love the Ravens in this game. It's a home game for the Ravens. When you look back, guys, at the history of MVPs against rookie quarterbacks and these quarterback matchups, the MVP has almost always torched the rookie of the year candidate. I think that Lamar Jackson, it's just ho-hum. Derrick Henry, another 150 on the ground. Ravens just walk away with it. I like the Ravens minus the 6.5 against the Commanders.
Damn it. Trust. Woo-woo.
It's not overly accurate.
You lost because you're no. – it's – yes. Like, no. What have you – I don't know. I don't –
What do you mean?
He covered the spread.
I know, but I don't necessarily love – the logic that went into your decision.
What was wrong with it?
Just with the, like, it's a what have you done for me lately part, which I think you did touch on some of that, but then you dug up, like, the MVP stuff against rookies, and I don't know.
Yeah. That's how you have to look at it. And the NFL, like I said, what goes up must come down. Commanders have been up. The Ravens started the year 0-2. Everything eventually comes back to the center. And like I said in the cut, when you have a team that's 4-1, that's a 6.5-point underdog, that tells you how much they love.
I mean, I'm
Ravens
glad you won.
Game.
I just was, what was the spread wondering again? About it was the logic.
6.5.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You snuck that with the hair of your chinny chin
there. They
were
ahead by a little bit more in
he
the game.
He scratched and clawed.
That's all right. That's why
I mean, that was a hair of a chinny chin chin right
that's
there.
That's why I felt comfortable making the call. And Derrick Henry goes for 132, by the way. Ding.
So you were 1-3?
I was almost
You're 1-3 this weekend?
Yes.
The first time
you're 1-3?
All year.
No, it's not.
It is the first time you beat me.
I know,
yes,
Dylan
it is.
Would have the
well,
the,
I beat
the
you
record.
Because I was smarter than you, and I knew that Detroit was going to go in there and do what they do best. Detroit's got too much offense for a banged-up defense in Dallas. I think it's going to be a shootout, but I'm taking the Lions to cover the 3.
Come on, man. That's too easy.
That's the best you got me is that's too easy. Come on, there's a better soundbite than that.
He wants to celebrate more. Yeah. He wants to celebrate more.
I am the smartest football mind on the morning shift, and I think it is absolutely obvious by this week's picks. I just absolutely schooled you, Mike. You don't even
believe yourself.
You thought
right
Florida.
Now.
You thought Florida and Tennessee was going to go the over on 57.
Oh my goodness, what was the? That's yeah, the 57 was that. I was like, man, neither one of these teams are going to play defense this weekend. And
that's the Florida defense right there.
I was sadly mistaken with that. That game was like 3-0, like pretty deep in. And I was like, man, this is not good.
Well, you can blame Billy Napier because it should have been 20-0 at halftime, and instead they gacked away points. Look, it was. We had another good weekend of college football, though.
Great weekend.
I'm sitting there in a sports bar in Charlotte. I don't know the name of the, like, Picasso's or something. I have no clue. It was different sport. Ohio State's bar. Huh. Okay. And we had the Ohio State-Oregon game on one TV. We had LSU-Ole Miss on another. We got Florida, Tennessee on another one. And then Arch sweet talked the waitress into putting Iowa State, West Virginia on one. And they were all good games. I mean, all of them were good games. It was a great Saturday night viewing of college football. I mean, some wings.
Wow, that's a long story.
If that was a social media post, I would have been like, that's too much to follow. I'm not reading all that. You went way in the weeds there with all that. So, Mike.
Tiff, Mike, this man tried to tell me I got long-winded on Friday. I was like, oh, my goodness.
You know why, Tiff? Tiff,
I'm
not reading all that. Because he goes, I want to give y'all some insight. He goes, I want to give y'all some insight. I don't want to go too deep in the weeds here. And he literally told every detail for what point in the Falcons game that's at home he walks to his car to come back to the studio. All of it, way off in
kinda
the weeds.
Kind of like him talking about Picasso's. Wait, I don't know the name.
I'm not reading all that.
You did a day in the life, basically.
He's completely overblowing a 15-second story. It was Dylan? Very close.
Dylan, you know that story weren't no 15 seconds, all right?
Are you telling them
rap? Rob Tribble fell asleep in the middle of the story.
Now, Mike, it wasn't long, but it wasn't 15 seconds. It was longer than 15 seconds,
I'll take
bro.
That just, coming right. from this man over here, I was like,
this is,
dude.
Now that is fair. That
I was like, man.
Let me tell you something. That's,
No, don't.
We don't have time
you
for you to tell
to
us
know
something.
Your role and know that I'm the one that gets long-winded on this show, not you.
Well, the only one that
I'm
can
not
shut
all
you
that.
Up. The only one that can shut you up is Dave Archer, former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. He'll join us when we come back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is not story time right now. We are back here.
Well, promise?
On the morning shift. I'm going to bring up something later, so I'm just going to remind myself of that.
What? How you just
right
went,
now.
Like, you just went, took
no.
285 three circles in a row to take a shot at me off the air?
I did. But we'll save it for another time.
Pedro Pascal over here.
Let's go to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find former Atlanta Falcons quarterback and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer, joining us here on the show. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Tiffany. How are we doing?
We are doing good. I'm sure you're doing good after another Falcons win, right? Three in a row, and this time taking out the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, anytime you can win three division games in a row, it gets you a good feeling, especially early on in the season. Lost that first game and kind of stumbled out of the blocks, but since have won three of four and four of five now, and so. You like where you stand, but obviously it's a long way to go yet. And got a good Seattle team coming in here this weekend. Then you got a red hot Tampa team that you just barely got by last week. So it doesn't get any easier.
Well, let's talk about that performance a little bit, Dave. It was interesting to me that both these teams obviously running the ball in the second half at a very good clip. I looked at GoForth with about 12 minutes left in the game, and I said, the next person that throws this ball is going to be making a mistake. And sure enough, they try to throw the ball. A.J. Terrell gets his hands on it. You see our running game continue to kind of take over. Talk us through the running game, what you saw, what allowed this team to be dominant with two backs there in the second half and really put this game away.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do, Mike, you could speak to this as well as I can as far as the run game goes. You get the confidence going. You get those guys, those big guys up front, and they come off the ball. They know they're not going to have to pass protect. They just come off the ball and get after people. And, you know, let's face it, they were missing some guys up front. Derrick Brown not being in the defensive line, Jadeveon Clowney not coming off the edge, and Shaq Thompson not sitting in the middle. You take advantage of situations, you know. It's matchups are a big part of what this game is about, whether it's throwing the football or running the ball. And I thought Atlanta had some advantages in matchups. I think that it took a little bit for Zach Robinson. He probed a little bit to see, you know, what they had. I know he threw the ball early on, and probably had some people cringing a little bit at the Falcon fans because you were getting some good run game going. In fact, I can't remember us having a negative running play, especially early on. It seemed like every time we ran, it was 4, 5, 6 yards. And so he settled into, let's pound him. You know, let's get after him. And I think that, you know, you can speak to that offensive lineman being able to just come off the ball together and go get people as opposed to having to sit and catch in pass protection. It has to be a confidence builder. And I thought that their confidence grew and grew and grew. And then the backs, the more opportunities you get to carry it. You know, people talk about backs get stronger as the game goes along. That's not true. What happens is you wear the other team down defensively, but the backs begin to get in a rhythm just like a quarterback do. It does. And I'm sure offensive linemen, Mike, I mean, I assume you guys get in a rhythm up front to be able to come off the ball together and kind of feeling and seeing things the right way and stuff, catching maybe some of their run blitzes and stuff if you see them enough times, like seeing a pitcher the third time through. I think it's very similar.
Arch, I think with Ruka Rororo getting some playing time, he's been playing well. Him and Grady, we saw them next to each other. But let's talk about Nate Landman and his addition. He had eight tackles yesterday. He actually had two forced fumbles, and we didn't recover them. But I felt like other than that drive in the third quarter or maybe early in the fourth quarter where A.J. makes interception, I thought you did some good things as in your run defense to kind of slow down Chuba Hubbard, who has been on fire as of late.
I felt like Nate brought a, you know, a stack and shed mentality as a linebacker. I feel like that, you know, Caden, who's really quick and can run, Caden Ellis, he runs around blocks and kind of causes problems because of his speed and his quickness. Landman is more of a guy that's going to take on blocks and stuff things. And so it creates, it kind of boggles up the hole a little bit. There's not clean holes to run through. And I think Landman created some of that. And then I thought, like you're talking about, you know, those the defensive front, especially the what Wes, and give Wes credit, he called them the Tiger Twins. I think it's a good one. Aroro and Grady Jarrett in there. I thought they played really stout at the point of attack. Now, we still got pushed around a little bit, but I thought it helped some that you did what you could do, and that's get out to a lead and take them out of their game plan to be able to run the football. I think that when you can get leads like we had, and we had developed that lead there in the second half, they had to get away from the run game a little bit. And when you look at the numbers, they ran for a different chunk. I think they were, 115 yards on the ground, which is not a ton. They ran a little over 4 yards a carry, but they had to get away from it some. They had to start throwing the football because Kirk Cousins, that offense and that run game for the Falcons put a lot of pressure on them and scored points. So, but I think there's some improvement there. I think that's something they're going to have to continue to work on because they did get gashed, especially a couple of drives there late in the game where they got the run game going a little bit but had to get away from it to throw the football to try to climb back in the game. But I think there's some steady improvement there. There's still a ways to go, though.
We have former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer, on the line with us. Dave, when it comes to Kyle Pitts, what do you like about the season that he's been putting together so far? I know he wasn't targeted a ton, but he did have three receptions for 70 yards in that win. But we were also discussing here earlier just the other ways that he's been able to impact the game.
I thought Kyle had a really good game blocking. Certainly when you run the football to the tune we did, almost 200 yards. Should have been over 200 yards had Kirk got kneeled down on the ball at the end of the game. We've been over 200 yards rushing. Anytime you put 200 yards on somebody in an NFL game, you have kicked their ass. There's no question about it up front. And it's not just the offensive line, which a great deal of it is, but you've got to have your tight ends blocking. And I thought both guys blocked extremely well. And I thought Kyle had some key blocks on the perimeter that we're able to spring the two backs. So I thought he did a good job there. The thing I liked about Kyle in the pass game is he was available and ready when the ball came. I think that he probably has kind of been searching as, okay, what is my identity in the passing game? The ball doesn't come my way sometimes, and sometimes it's late before it gets there. I thought last week, Kirk got him involved early on. He was real aggressive, and he was very good in the passing game. He didn't get targeted early on in this game. Now, he makes a huge play on a corner route. They drop coverage on him, and Kirk finds him, and he's ready, and he makes the play. And I think that's something that says something about him, too, is his continued maturity of saying, hey, if I don't get the ball early on, I'm still going to be available and be a viable player that can make a play that can change the game later on, even though I don't see the football. I got to be I could be workmanlike here and be a part of the run game. But when the ball comes, I'm gonna do damage, and that makes it tougher to defend Atlanta. You know, when you start talking about all the guys that can catch the football, if Kyle's going to be one of those kind of guys that all of a sudden in the third quarter he gets three or four passes or catches a big one to win the game, then that makes it difficult for all teams to prepare for them offensively. So I think Kyle continues to mature as a player, but he certainly was a difference maker in the run game, I thought, yesterday.
Arch, how hard is it to go on the road against a division rival and win going away like the Falcons did yesterday? I know that they were missing guys. We were missing guys too. But I think, you know, some of the things I read and see, it feels like some people don't understand the reality of going on the road in the NFL and winning by double digits.
Man, just winning games in this league is hard, Bo. It's just, you know, just to win games in your own building, let alone go in somebody else's building. There's a pride factor that kicks in guys. These are NFL players. All these guys that are in the league for a reason. I know that there's some guys that are starters, and then there's guys that step in to fill roles when guys go down, like both teams had to do yesterday. But, man, when you go into an NFL building, you know, they circle the wagons, and it's difficult. It's a difficult scenario, and I it's hard to explain. But, you know, different weekends are different matchups. There are different things that they do well that you might not do well. And so you've got to cover your blemishes up and make sure that they can't get to some of their best stuff. And I thought Atlanta did some of that in this game. And this is a team that continues to mature, too, because it's a young team. There's some veteran players that are sprinkled in, but it's a young team that's kind of growing and learning who they are. And I thought that they continue to do that from their preparation standpoint to get ready. You had to get rid of those two games that you just won in 4 days. There were emotional wins in your own building against the two teams that a lot of people feel like you've got to beat to win the division. And here's Carolina, team struggling. Well, you come in, they give you a couple punches. They punch you pretty good early on, but you hung in there and just kind of overwhelmed them. And think about it. Atlanta was 4-for-8 in the red zone. Now, one of them was the kneel down at the end of the game. They were 4-for-8 in the red zone. And you still won by double digits. If you take care of business in the red zone and they continue to get better down there, I mean, you're going to start stepping on people and putting a lot of points on the board. So let's hope that continues to blossom. But, yeah, it's you know, you can talk to your blue in the face about how difficult it is to win in this league and go on the road and win games each weekend. And I know Mike fights that battle each and every day on you guys' show. But it's just what it is. And people got to take our word for it.
I fight a lot of battles on this show, Arch. There's no doubt about it.
Most of them he's losing. Hey, real quick.
A lot of it has to do with that guy that's on next to you and his feet don't touch the floor.
There
when
ain't
he talks
no doubt about it, man.
Depends on how the chair's setting up.
Sure.
Look, A.J. Terrell, real quick. A.J. Terrell breaks a drought, and then the heads-up play by Clark Phillips, the slide down after his first career interception.
Well, the Terrell play explains itself. I mean, A.J.'s been battling. He dropped one, I think, the weekend before. He was really upset with himself. He dropped the interception last weekend. So he gets this one. It's a really good play where he undercuts the throw, and it was a huge moment in the game. Atlanta needed a stop, and he got it. He made the play, veteran play. The Clark Phillips play is an amazing play because Clark is he's a young player. He's a ball hawk. He's been targeted some because he's a little bit smaller, things like that. But he's a guy that wants to hit you in the mouth. The interception, he could have easily walked. That was his first career interception. He could have easily taken it back. And think about that as a career moment. My first interception is a 45-yard return for a touchdown. He understood the moment. And that's Jerry Gray teaching him how to play corner. He slides down inside the 5-yard line. Now the defense doesn't have to go back on the field. And Jerry told me a story after the game real quickly that he was in a moment like that where there was a guy that intercepted a pass and returned for a touchdown, and they've been talking about, let's not return, let's just get down on the ground, let's end the game. They had to go back out on the field the next series, and the starting free safety blew his knee in the next series. And it was a meaningless series at the end of the game and a game he was playing in. So those are things that they talk about as DBs. So Clark gets all the credit for actually understanding the moment and doing it right in the moment. But that's something Jerry's talked to him about. And Jerry Gray, one of the really good DBs, was number one draft pick out of Texas, played for the Rams. I played against Jerry. He's a really good player. Those are things those guys are getting taught. And I thought that Clark standing up and doing what he was supposed to do in that moment, very unselfish play right there. All the coaches we were talking to getting ready to go down the elevator said, man, I'd have taken it in. That was a career moment right
same.
There.
Same.
Yeah, I was with
same.
Him too.
I told Gofor, I'd have gritted. I'd have acted a fool on that thing.
Yeah, it was a very unselfish play by Clark.
That's a great story and a great inside information coming from you, Arch. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, Steph. Take care.
You too. That was Dave Archer, former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. You can follow him on X at ArcherQB16. When we come back, we've got a Life of Squid. Stay with us here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That's right. Little W sauce, little breakfast sauce. And thank you to New Realm Brewing. Owl Inn. Very good craft lager. Very good. I'm enjoying it. I'm actually going to go home and I'm going to drink one tonight and run a few laps to Vegas. Get a little practice laps in, Mike.
There you go, man. Man.
Hey, I want to tell you guys, the Brown Grass Charity Classic is filling up fast. We are getting close to capacity, so you need to go get your butt over there to 99 The Game website. Go to the event page. Pull it up. And go ahead and sign up, because I'm just saying, ain't a lot of playing spots left, Mike. It's dwindling down.
Yeah, I'm getting my game honed in. Feel pretty good about it. Might have to go out there and get a W in this thing.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, feel good about it. Yeah, no big deal. Putting well recently.
Like you did about your putting picks well this weekend.
Yeah, putting well.
You've been playing a little Golden Tee?
Yeah, exactly. PGA 2K22.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because that's about the only time you want to get a practice run in soon?
Need to, badly.
We can leave here. Tiff, you can come too.
No, I'm good.
Okay. More welcome. We can get you out on the course. And
I don't even have clubs.
Don't you have a cut you need to play? I think we're going to run out of time.
I know. I was going to say, you're not going to get your segment.
Sign up for the Brown Grass Charity Classic today. Pets for Vets, guys. It's for a great cause. It's all the money that's made off of it goes to charity. Yeah, Nick Saban had an interesting thought. He's obviously been someone that has been in the game coaching. He is not a fan of players going down and getting injured. He thinks we need a flopping rule. Yeah, a flopping rule could be coming to college football. Saban talked about it on College Game Day, you know, when they weren't following wherever Kirk Herbstreit was in a moving car, which was utterly ridiculous. Saban said, hey, we need a rule for flopping.
You can fix it.
Yeah, this is the integrity of the game. And there's no player that flops in a game that doesn't get a signal from the coach to do it, to slow the game down. But, you know, there's a history to all this because in the old days, you used to have to get up and run off the field if you got injured. I mean, I broke my leg and I got to run off the field.
Dog.
Well, fastball came along, so everybody said, if you get injured, stay down. Stay down. Don't get up because, you know, we can't substitute fast enough.
Right.
All right, so now people are taking advantage of this rule. But I think until there's some penalty for doing it, and I know it's a very sensitive subject for an official to make a determination about is a player injured or not, but there should be a flop rule.
You guys think there should be a flop rule? I don't necessarily disagree with Saban.
I don't know why anybody would disagree with that. The problem is, how do you make that determination in real time? I mean, it's impossible, right? You don't know really what's going on inside of those. It's just, this is the reason we're at this point. I think that there maybe after the fact would be a little bit easier to go back and kind of review things. Or maybe like an MLS, there needs to be a time period where that guy can no longer play.
And to Saban's point, he did at some point say, look, he said maybe a timeout. You know, if the guy can come back in after one play,
right?
And it's like, or if you can see, if you see a guy walking to the sideline and he goes down like he was like, you know, it almost looks like guys, and I hate to use this term, but like something jumped up and bit them, right?
Yeah.
Something bit me.
That there probably should be rules enforced. Also, we don't really do that in women's sports. So I just want to point that out to you. Like when you think about women's soccer.
Nobody flops in women's soccer.
My team wasn't a bunch of floppers back in the day. Back in my day.
I was
going
to say, I'm going to have to call BS on that. There's definitely flopping in women's soccer.
I feel like it's not as prevalent as it is with men's soccer and then football. So yeah. Make a rule, because I'm tired of seeing people roll around on fields, on courts, whatever it is. Like, it's so annoying.
There's some flopping in WNBA.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spann Real Estate. Go to markspann.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We're going to find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.